Richard Eade Show, the voice of Santa Fe on KTRC, Santa Fe's news talk leader.
Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed?
All right. Dr. Timothy E. Nelson is here, and we're going to talk about what he's going to be doing along with a gentleman named Gregory Waits tomorrow evening at CCA, right? Yes. Dr. Nelson, you are a doctor of what?
Philosophy.
Medicine?
Philosophy.
I have a pain.
you're in trouble then. You
well, die. Yeah. Doctor of philosophy.
Philosophy specifically in history, Borderlands studies.
Okay. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Compton, California. Grew up somewhat in L.A. too as well, but mostly Compton.
What years?
I graduated high school in 1995. So like when the
How old were you in Rodney King days?
Oh.
Were you around there?
Yes, I was in high school. I did not participate in the riots.
So you say.
Yeah, I'm just making sure because, you know, the statute of limitations.
I know. You never know. You never know who's listening. So you were in high school?
I was in high
during
school.
During the riots?
Yes.
Scary time in that part of life.
Yes.
I was in L.A. as well.
Yes.
I was a truck driver.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, I remember the Denny situation.
Reginald Denny.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I remember that.
So you grew up in Compton?
Yeah.
And then because you were a kid growing up in Compton, said, I'm going to be a doctor of philosophy.
No. I could barely read coming out of high school. But I could play football, like, you know.
Really?
Really well. And that's how I got to New
I'm
Mexico.
Taking defense.
No. I'm just
running back?
Yes, exactly.
Were you really?
Yes. I was a running back for New Mexico State, and we did
You were an Aggie?
Yes, and we did beat UNM.
What year?
During my years. During the Tony Samuel days.
Sure.
97,
Coach
98.
Samuel, right.
Yeah, 97, 98. I was a junior college transfer.
And I was doing Lobo Radio.
Oh, so
with Mike Roberts.
Do you remember this? Okay, do you remember this? UNM,
we
NMSU.
We may have been cursing you. Did you score a touchdown?
I did. Oh. Let me see.
We're getting off topic.
Maybe, I don't know. That's too long ago. Right. But, Urlacher dropped a punt, and that's how we won when we were at UNM.
He thought he could do everything. And he pretty much could.
In college, yeah.
He was a man among boys.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Big, fast.
Yeah, the first thing when we came in on Monday, when we were about to play them the next week, it was like, okay, this guy named Urlacher.
He's from Lovington. Ah, no big deal, man. Turned out he was a big deal.
Very big deal.
Number one pick in the NFL.
Very big deal. They used to say this thing around the locker room and say, he came to school just to play football. And that's the attitude we had to have that week when we had to play against him.
All right, so you played a game without your helmet, and that's how it became a doctor of philosophy.
No, we were playing against Texas. And Ricky Williams, it was his Heisman Trophy year. And I scored during that game. I mean, we're going back and forth with them on offense. Our defense, not so much.
Right.
And I score, and I look up, and I'm like, is this it? And it kind of was.
The meaning of life.
Yeah, it's like, is this it?
I'm no Ricky Williams.
That day, I realized I was not a Ricky Williams.
He was a stud, man. Oh. He was a stud.
He got like 600 yards on his
all-purpose. Then he started smoking pot.
I think he was smoking before, though.
Really?
Let's just give. Yeah, he was smoking before.
Okay.
And during.
This is great. We should have had you in earlier. We'll have you back. Dr. Timothy E. Nelson. Now, you live in Los Alamos.
I do.
What do you do up there philosophically?
My daughter, she's in middle school, and I love watching her run track.
Okay.
That is, you know, it's the highlight of my day, my life, really.
Can you make a living as a doctor of philosophy in Los Alamos, New Mexico?
No. No, not at all. It's really difficult in New Mexico in general with the specialty that I have, particularly Black history.
All right, tell us about it. Let's get down to the Blackdom.
Okay, so Blackdom. Most people are not familiar with it. They're getting familiar with it. The show Godless featured Blackdom. However,
in a very weird way. It was a very strange show. It was a great series, but it was a very strange show.
Wonderful series, right?
Yeah.
Right? I just they
with
did
Michelle Dockery.
Oh.
Give me a break.
You know what? I started following her on Instagram, and, you know, I just fell in love with her.
You became a fan of Downton Abbey all of a sudden, didn't you? She's gorgeous.
Why are you
telling
my secrets?
I'm sorry.
Tell her my secrets.
All right. Blackdom.
Okay, so, like...
The real town.
Like in Godless, most people use Blackdom as a footnote. And so what I did for my dissertation to get my PhD is focused on this footnote, and I found that they struck oil. Now, all the other stories I had heard from Colores and all of the other different narratives, none of the oil company came up. So that's when I knew I was onto something. And then I realized that the whole narrative that I've been told about Blackdom, that we all have been told about Blackdom,
right,
was missing about a decade of information.
Really?
So, mm-hmm.
All right. So it was founded about when?
1903.
By whom?
13 black families. Most notably is Frank Boyer. And he was a black minister, black Freemason. He was also in the military. So he was one of the spearheads for this. But
looking for what? To be left alone?
You would think that, but that's not how it worked. They were looking for money. It was about money. The Blackdom itself was an investment vehicle. You could do a lot more owning your own town than you could just working. So it was, in a lot of ways, a pass through for a lot of people.
Okay, where was it?
20 miles south of Roswell, 20 miles north of Artesia. Dexter is about 10 miles east.
Okay, what is there now?
A plaque.
That's it?
Yes.
It's all
There are plans. Gregory Waits, for example, you mentioned him earlier.
Right.
He was a part of a monument building project that was that didn't go all the way through,
okay.
And now it's being resurrected with the new history that we've developed with the 10 years that was left out of the original history.
All right, so you'll be doing a presentation about Blackdom.
Yes.
Tomorrow evening at
Yes,
CCA.
It's a little bit more involved than just the history of Blackdom. I kind of make it more relevant because what they knew, we should know now. And it starts with race, and it starts with the intersectionality that we all should be engaging in somehow, in some way.
All right, so what wisdom did they have in 1903 that we could use in 2019, besides a whole bunch?
Race didn't exist.
Survival.
Race didn't exist. Racism did, and so they responded to the racism. But they didn't see themselves through the
lens. Explain the difference.
Well, okay.
How do you have racism without race?
Well, when you... Okay, I'll throw it back at you. What does DNA tell us about race?
I don't know.
That it doesn't exist. That our skin tone isn't race. Race has something, has a history, and that history has taught us how to feel and think about certain things. So the racism we deal with, but actual race, black people are just people.
Okay.
With the same ambitions, with the same notions of God and evolution and light and darkness. Those things are the same, but racism is what separates them.
Okay.
So they understood themselves through a wider lens than the people around them.
Did they experience racism?
Oh, yeah. Well, when they struck oil 1920. It grew, and by 1922, you started having the leaders in Roswell inviting Ku Klux Klan speakers from Texas to come in, and you had the first Klan to develop in New Mexico. New Mexico was not a hospitable place for the Ku Klux Klan, except in Little Texas or eastern New Mexico.
Right.
And so it grew, and they had their inaugural cross burning in 1924 down the street from
This is getting weird. Let's take a break. I promise I won't talk any more about football. Dr. Timothy E. Nelson, along with Greg Waits. Greg is an architect, right?
Architect and artist.
And trying to resurrect the project around Blackdom. The event will be CCA tomorrow at 6 till 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Of course, CCA at 10:50, Old Pecos Trail, right below the Children's Museum. It's 44 minutes after 3 o'clock. We'll be right back.
coming right back to the Richard Ead Show, the voice of Santa Fe, here on KTRC, Santa Fe's news talk leader.
Our guest is Dr. Timothy E. Nelson, Doctor of Philosophy, lives in Los Alamos. He'll be doing a presentation tomorrow evening at CCA up off Old Pecos Trail at 6 to 8 o'clock tomorrow night, intersecting Blackdom, New Mexico. An evening with Dr. Timothy Smith along with Gregory Waits. He'll be there as well. All right, so I got to ask you, philosophy who? Anybody in particular?
Me?
No, I mean, which philosophy?
Okay, that I
Malcolm X or Plato?
Huey P. Newton.
Huey P. Newton. Okay, yeah. It was going to be Plato or Huey P. Newton. Okay, and New Mexico State.
New Mexico State.
Got your doctorate
State.
At?
No. I got it at UTEP. New Mexico State has. We have a problem at New Mexico State.
Okay, all right. We'll leave it there. UTEP, down the road.
Yeah, UTEP. Yeah. UTEP, down the road is where I got it.
Okay.
It was the Battle of I-10. I also played against UTEP, too. So it was
sure?
of fun to
Absolutely.
Be
Absolutely.
In that little rivalry.
Weird stadium. I said I wouldn't get back to football.
Okay.
We'll do that another
okay,
day.
Okay, another time.
All right, so Blackdom, New Mexico. Founded in 1903. Because you said a money-making proposition. You could make more money if you owned your own town. And so how many families originally?
Originally, the original was 13 families.
From?
A lot of them were from Texas, okay. Some from New Mexico, but the people who came in and started organizing the enclave into a more business approach
right.
Were from Georgia, and they had come from college, most of them. Morehouse
really?
Okay. and Fisk. And
I mean, was it like a cult?
It was like a church. So okay. It depends, because these people came as God-fearing people.
Okay.
And so preachers led the community for the most part. They had, but they also had a sector that were Freemasons. So there was a lot of intellectualism in there. They actually had a seminary at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, the first.
And
the
then
first,
they and then they found oil. How in the heck did they do that?
Amazing, right?
Bubbling up through the ground like Beverly Hillbillies or what?
That's not exactly how it happened. It happened in the region, and then they were able to pull their land together okay. and then get exploration.
So somebody drilled around Artesia somewhere.
Well, about 1909, I think, is where they started saying, hey, this land may have oil.
Geology,
right. And then they pulled the land together when someone came to them and said, hey, how about you do this? And
okay.
they started doing their own research, and then they formed the company.
So they drilled, they had some wells, they found
yes,
oil,
yes.
they produce oil,
yes.
they sell oil,
yes.
they make money?
Yes.
Ku Klux Klan came in. Because they were making money?
Yes.
So Roswell invited the,
it didn't
the KKK
work, though.
In.
This is the one story where the Ku Klux Klan were kind of, didn't work.
They
didn't stop anything because they created a town that was what we would call today a virtual town, because you had homesteaders. They would be on their homesteads. You had other people who made their money in towns like Roswell and Dexter.
Right.
But then they would bring all – they would pool their money together in Blackdom. They would buy from the store in Blackdom and circulate the capital within the municipality and then go back out and be made. So you would be a maid over there, but you'd come to Blackdom and you'd be a co-founder. You'd
right.
be
right.
a board member. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
It just changes your status once you cross the border
sure.
between Roswell and
But we had our initial cross burning somewhere over
1924,
there.
1924. Yes, yes.
Courtesy
but
of
here's the funny part. If you have a cross burning, it should be for a reason in front of somebody's house or in a neighborhood. There were no black neighborhoods. Everything was pretty much integrated when it comes to Roswell. So it didn't work as well. I'll give you an example. Okay. Again, the Boyer person that I told you about, his father came from Georgia, who started off as under the institution of slavery. He finally made it to Blackdom, died in Roswell, and in 1927, the morgue that handled him was headed by the head of the Ku Klux Klan in Roswell. So that's the irony of this thing is that it was too fluid for there to be a real divide between black and white. There was, but it not like what you would see in the South. There were no other side of the tracks.
Why is blackdom not known in New Mexico history at all?
Because you don't have black historians here. You don't have a single department in an institution in New Mexico that teaches black history. So you don't have any pool of black historians to actually develop this history. And you've never had a department here. At New Mexico State, you don't even have a black history being taught at all. And at UNM, you do have a program that is departmentalizing as we speak. But that's now. That's in the 2000s. Haven't had the development of black historians to go in and develop that history.
Our guest is Dr. Timothy Nelson, Dr. of Philosophy, lives in Los Alamos, intersecting blackdom tomorrow evening at CCA at 6 o'clock. So if people want to find out your research, what did you have to do? Are there books about blackdom? Are there descendants of the people who lived in blackdom?
I did something better.
Any documentaries about blackdom?
Sure. I did something better. I made it accessible for everyone online. If you go to Instagram and you go and you look up Blackdom New Mexico, you're going to find the history of Blackdom and the people who are trying to resurrect it now.
Okay.
If you go to Facebook, you're going to find another location and other historical
pieces.
Google Blackdom
New Mexico. Just
Google Blackdom New Mexico or Google Giggle My Ass Off. Uh-huh. And then you'll find me, and then you can find the history of blackdom.
Okay. and you put all that there. You put up most of that information.
The information is there. You end up with the not so good information.
Okay.
Here's how you know if the information is good.
Right.
If it includes the oil company. If it doesn't include the oil company.
Why did they leave that out?
Again, you don't have a single department that teaches black history in all of New Mexico.
But, I mean, it'd have to be intentional to leave that out, wouldn't it?
You said it, not me.
Black gold, Texas tea, can't have that.
You had to leave it out. You had to leave it out. Okay. There's a racialization process that happens in the borderlands. And part of that racialization process is to not teach actual history. I mean, even when we go to blackdom, you have to say, well, you also have to include that, the land was indigenous land. So even as they were creating a town, they were created on land that was stolen from indigenous peoples.
Right.
And that's a hard history to tell. It's easier to just say, oh, Roswell, you know.
Right. Aliens.
Yeah.
Which they deserved. So you go over there now, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Kind of just melted away, though.
It was meant that way. Remember, I told you the Klan wasn't able to be truly effective because there wasn't a town to burn down.
Exactly.
They understood how to go from their homestead to Roswell and just circulate their money in the town, though.
Are there descendants?
Oh, yes. And they're popping up everywhere, too, that didn't even know they were descendants. They said, oh, you know, my cousin just contacted me. So this is what happened. I say I'm from Compton.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to Compton, and I find Boyer's family in Compton.
Seriously?
So what happened was black people, the black cowboys, went from blackdom to Compton in the next migration.
Directly, you think?
Yes.
For
well, okay, so you
what
had,
industry?
Oh, so you had black ministers, you had black military, and you had black Freemasons. So those three things are how you were able to go and find something.
Sure.
You know how it goes. It's a network. It's a network.
Yeah.
So the military is how most of them got the capital to go on. I mean, you have
so
Korea,
you encounter you've talked to the family of Boyer.
Oh yeah, in fact. Nikisha Breeze, she's out in Taos. She's an artist there. And she's a descendant, and she's an artist that uses her art to tell parts of her family story, but also the story of blackdom as well. She's well known, not just in New Mexico, but
great story. So you're going to have slides and PowerPoint.
Oh, it'll be interactive.
Multimedia.
It'll be interactive. I will not.
Giggle my.
Exactly. It's going to be a little bit looser than most people would expect.
Well,
it's not a history lecture. I would bore myself with one of those. And I have bored
myself. He's a doctor of Huey P. Newton. He's not a history professor.
Exactly. History for the streets.
All right. Come back when you got something to talk about, okay? Nice to meet you, Doctor. Dr. Timothy E. Nelson, along with Gregory Waits, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at CCA, right below Santa Fe Children's Museum. Coming up next is Rick Unger's show. I'll be back tomorrow. Do the whole entire show tomorrow from Northern New Mexico College in Española. Have a great evening. You're listening to Talk 1260 103.7 KTRC.